We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Thanks for joining us again this week. The Beaver Sports Podcast is made possible by Hum Kombucha, fizzy, delicious, and made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon, for Beaver Nation. Beaver Nation, John, is always interested in all aspects of Beaver sports all year round, and that includes, of course, the national championship Beaver baseball team back at work in fall ball with a new head coach running all of the practices and so on right now. Same staff intact, but it's a new voice. Former associate head coach Pat Bailey, now with the official title interim head coach, but for all practical purposes, and I think going forward, we will be referring to Pat as head coach, Pat Bailey.
I was going to say, when do we make that change? Right away? Next spring? I will say one thing, though, that you don't really think about baseball in the fall, but they're into it. They're practicing. They've been working out since September 11th, and their workouts will include a couple of practice games against outside opponents.
And coming up in this podcast, we're going to talk to Pat Bailey about how those fall ball games against other schools came together, about the roster, about the timing involved that Pat Bailey and the staff dealt with, as we all did, with Pat Casey making his momentous announcement a few weeks ago.
Well, Mike, as you know, we have some fine sponsors for the Beaver Sports Podcast. We have a lot of fun doing this over the course of the year, and it's brought to you by Visit Corvallis. Experience Beaver Game Day fun live in Corvallis and extend your stay to take in all the Willamette Valley has to offer. Visit Corvallis, come for the game and stay to play. We had a day where the sun was out, 85 degrees. Baseball is playing, football is practicing, and it was day one of basketball's official practice.
And all of this, John, took place on the same day. We've got a big football game in Tempe this weekend. Basketball's hard at work. So is baseball. In an era that we're all still trying to get our minds around after 24 years with head coach Pat Casey, we just jumped right into it with the new head coach, who's not new in the sense I mean, he's been around Coach Casey for a long time and with this program since 2008.
Well, Bales, we're sitting in the big office as we conduct this week's sports podcast presented by Hum Kombucha. Thanks for taking time for us. I know it's not about titles, offices, Beaver baseball, but here you have more room now. You've got your library and some things kind of spread out. You are the head coach for the national championship baseball team. Do you even allow yourself to think about what the title in the office means, or are you just working so much with fall ball underway that it feels as though in some ways things haven't changed even after the big announcement we had here a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to be the head coach here. I told you on Friday, I'm going to miss being with Case every day because him and I are really good friends, but I'm excited to be the head coach again. But as far as bigger offices and stuff like that, you know me well enough to know I could care less.
But it's the official office for the head coach, so here you are.
You had to move in here, right? Was it reluctant? Were you just fine, whatever, I got work to do?
Yeah, that's a great comment. I mean, I'd plan on moving here. It's just taking a while for me to get – I want to make sure – I mean, I called Case up last week and asked him if it was okay if I moved. I wanted to give him time to get his stuff out. Yeah. So, I mean, he's been here for 24 years. He should have as much time as he wants.
Pat, even as we sat down to conduct this, Pat Casey was in here. He had a Raiders football sweatshirt jacket on. Said he had been doing some yard work at home. We're all still sort of, after 24 years, it's still difficult at times to kind of get our minds as outsiders, in a sense, even though we've been really close to the program, to get our minds around the idea that he's not day-to-day the head coach. He's not an assistant. He is the retired head coach at Oregon State. What about for you and the staff, just in terms of coming to a full grip of knowledge of that and just carrying on, though, with the program?
Well, I think, number one, it's been easy to do just because we've all been together. So, I mean, things haven't changed a lot. And, you know, I scheduled most of the practice plans in terms of the organization of and how they're set up. So that's all really familiar. I mean, the only thing that's not familiar is having Case out there every day. Other than that, it's business as usual. And we hired Ryan Gibson, who was in our program for 2 years as an undergraduate assistant. So, you know, I think you'd have to talk to the kids. I've asked them, but our young men. But I think things are going really well.
When you got the players together before that first practice, did you have to have just kind of a scene-setting conversation? Okay, everything's changed, or not. Just get out on the field and start.
Or nothing's changed, right, whatever the case may be.
We obviously had a meeting, yeah. And you know everybody has. I mean, the overall philosophy is very similar, but there's specific things that I want to take care of that I really believe in personally as a head coach. So I made sure. I think, you know, my background's business, and I read a lot of leadership books. And one of the keys to being a really good leader is having very clear expectations. And so I just wanted to be really clear about some of the things that were really important to me. And, you know, when you work for a boss, things that are important to that boss, you better take care of. So that's probably, you know, and it wasn't a lot. It was just a few things that I wanted to be really clear with our team that's a really big deal to me that I wanted to make sure it was taken care of.
One of the advantages of this being a podcast format is we can delve into some things. You pique my interest. Who are some of the books or the leaders that you've read about that you take a little bit from and try and impart that onto the players or anybody else in your life?
Yeah, I would say, well, my number one favorite leader is Jesus Christ.
I knew you were going to
say Bible,
that.
So, but leadership books, John Maxwell. As a guy, I mean, you look over there and you'll see about 15 John Maxwell books. So John Maxwell's had a huge influence on me as a head coach. I've got probably every John Wooden book that's ever been written. I really like John Wooden a lot. So I'd say those two are probably primary. And then Kenneth Blanchard. Mm-hmm. A guy that, if you remember the book, The One-Minute Manager and Who mm-hmm. Moved My Cheese and Leadership and The One-Minute Manager and all Ken Blanchard's books, I've read all of his books as well.
Is there a common theme in all of those authors?
Yeah, I don't know about a common theme, but, I mean, they're all about leadership. But I'd say the one common theme, all great leaders are great communicators. Mm. And I think that's the key. If you want your players to do what you expect them. You have to be really clear in your expectations and what you want out of your players on a daily basis, but they also have to know what's important to you.
Pat Bailey on this week's Beaver Sports podcast. Pat, John asked the question that I was pondering too, just as you read and assimilate all of those things. But that's the key word, I think. I say assimilate. You have to be walking it and living it and can't now jump. What does the book say I should do in this situation? So you, these are things you've read and reread, and a lot of them have become living principles, do you feel like, in the way you've gone about working with young men through the years as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, as a teacher.
As a dad.
As a father. Right. I mean, I remember reading one of Ken Blanchard's books that when my son was probably about 3 years old. It's probably the first book I read was The One-Minute Manager. And I remember it saying that when you discipline people, that you always attack behavior, not the person. And that it should be something that's immediate and that it's done with. And so, you know, I always remember that, using that when I had to discipline my children, that, you know, it needs to be specific. You need to tell them why they're in trouble. The discipline needs to be specific, and then when it's done, it's done.
I wonder there's so much to unpack there. We don't really have time. I wonder from a baseball standpoint, Pat, one of the things we've all observed through the years watching you, I look into the dugout after almost every pitch calling Beaver games to see, you know, how Case or you or somebody might have reacted to a particular play that may not have gone so well. But I always see you guys interacting throughout games. How collaborative is everything that you do as coaches at Oregon State, with or without Coach Casey now in the dugout? How will that, in your view, continue going forward?
It's not going to change. I mean, obviously Nate's responsible for pitch calling, and I think it's probably a real important that I stay involved with helping move and position our position players so I don't bother Nate. otherwise, you know, when I was at George Fox, and I told Nate this when I've told him several times. We talked about it again after I got the head job. My second year at George Fox, Jeff Loomis, who's now at Portland at the time, was my assistant coach. And Jeff said to me, if you don't become the pitching coach again, I'm quitting because you're driving me crazy. You need to leave the pitching coach alone or do it yourself. So I ended up being the pitching coach the last probably 10 years I was at George Fox. I didn't have anybody else help me. But, you know, I really trust Nate. I think I've said before, I think he's the best pitching coach in the country. And I know part of that's bias, but I just think he's a great communicator and a really good teacher. And I think he calls a really good game. And I did give him some specific things that I really believe in that I think need to be consistent in terms of pitch calling during games. But I'm going to leave him alone. I trust him. And then Annie and I will be involved. And I'll get Gippy involved, too, in the scatter report stuff and positioning and things like that, because I think that's critical during a game. I think it's won a lot of games for us over the years.
So given that, when Pat was in charge in the dugout, were you over near Nate all the time tugging on his shirt saying, hey, 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 do this?
I've never bugged Nate just because I let Pat take care of that.
But you and Pat collaborated a lot on in-game decisions, who to hit for, do we run here, all sorts of things like that. You were the associate head coach and very close with Pat. Will you have a Pat Bailey by your side now in a similar kind of role?
I mean, that's a really great question. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have Gippy coach first base. I talked to Andy about it. He still wants to coach third base. So I think that will be probably more Nate and me when Nate's in the dugout with me. One of the things I really was honoring of is, you know, Pat sometimes would say, come down with me when we're doing offense. I'm kind of struggling. I need your help. And I'd always tell him, Pat, you're a great coach. I trust you. You do what you need to do. And the reason why I did that is because there's nothing worse when you're running something and Pat was in charge of our offense than to have people second guess you. And I just think that's wrong. So I will get feedback from Nate, but I'll make the final decisions in terms of what we're doing.
Will you still work individually with the outfielders and have the same type of, you know, in practice and preparation type duties that you used to have?
In terms of our practices right now, I am working with our outfielders just because Ryan's really good with infielders, and because Annie's now me, and he has to go out and recruit like I did. Mm-hmm. And Annie's gone. He was gone last week. He's gone for the next 3 weekends. So when he's gone, infield is a critical area, and there's a lot of guys you're working with. So Gippy's taking care of that when Andy's gone, and I'm still working with the outfielders.
And how much, Pat, will you still be involved in the all-important process of recruiting and finding the right young men for the program? Tell us how vitally you've been involved in that. Andy Jenkins, an outstanding coach and great Beaver, moves into a role that you've occupied. So how does the recruiting part continue to work with you now as the head coach?
Well, Nate and I both are going to be really involved, and I think Andy's going to do a great job because he's very conscientious. But, you know, I mean, it's new to him. And so, I mean, honestly, I just told him when he went out last week, and I said, we have basically every year between 8 to maybe 10 to 11 scholarships, which means 4 of them are going to go to pitchers. We're going to have anywhere between 5 and 7 position players. When you're looking at a position player, you're looking for a white rhino among elephants. I mean, you're looking – when you bring your list back to us and talk to us about it, it should be a really small list. And honestly, the list he brought back to me was 2 of the 4 guys that he put down on the – these are absolute stud list kind of a thing – were 2 guys I saw this summer that are no-brainer guys. So, and then he had – another guy that I didn't know about, but he showed me a video on it, and the guy is really good. So anyhow, I think he's going to do a great job in that. We're at this point, we haven't decided on recruiting coordinator and that kind of stuff, but I'm going to stay involved. And the reason why I am is because I've been doing it when I was a recruiting coordinator at George Fox, even though I was the head coach. And after Marty left, I became the recruiting coordinator here. So I do want to stay involved in it, and it's something I really enjoy doing. And so in the summertime, I'll go out a lot.
Pat, this is not – I hope you understand the spirit of the question here, in that, you know, Pat Casey has built himself into – he's well-known nationally. He's a legendary coach on his way, I'm sure, to a Hall of Fame status the sport of college baseball, one of the greats we've ever seen. And so people that in the recruiting process are aware of him and might even want to say, hey, I want to come play for Pat Casey someday, et cetera. I mean, I'm sure you have to be aware of that. You've recruited for him and maybe even heard that from young people on the recruiting trail. So is that going to be at all an issue? Hey, you know, you're coming to play for Oregon State. We're the 3-time national champions, et cetera. What about Pat's presence in building a program, and yet you guys carrying on everything that's gone on here the last 24 years?
Yeah, I mean, what Pat's done here in Corvallis, Oregon, is incredible. You know, he's a great motivator. I think he's a great coach. His presence is going to be missed. The recruiting part of it, I mean, honestly, you know, I was very concerned when Pat left just about losing some recruits. And I think the key, that the reason why we kept all of them is because, you know, until the guys get here, they really don't develop a relationship with Case. I mean, I'm the one, and Nate, we're the ones who call those guys all the time. And most of the guys that we're bringing in, I've recruited. So I've talked to them all the time on the phone, almost on a weekly basis. So the relationship part of it is already developed with me, and that's made it easier. You know, once guys get here, they develop more of a relationship with that.
But now that opportunity isn't present in the way that it has been for 24 years. But if you've been the conduit and the young people coming here choosing Oregon State are doing so already out of relationship with you, with Nate, with the program, and they get here and have that same sense of this is Oregon State baseball.
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, Case and I always joked, if we both left, things aren't going to change. Everybody's replaceable. I don't care how great you are or what you've done. You know, you're replaceable. Sorry, John, you're replaceable too. We're all replaceable. Yeah. And there's some, you know, and there's always going to be somebody that's going to have presence, that's going to do something at any specific place. So, you know, I'm not taking anything away from what Pat's done because, mm-hmm. you know, you think about the Pacific Northwest and what he's done in Pacific Northwest in Division I baseball. Until Oregon State won a national championship, and I think I'm 100% right here. I don't think there's ever been a Northwest baseball team that's ever won a national championship at the Division I level. I know Lewis Clark State's won several at the NAIA level.
You won one?
Won one at the Division III level. So, you know, that's, I mean, you look at that in the context of the history of baseball here in the United States, that's pretty amazing. It's not just one, he's won three. And, you know, I don't know how people are aware of it, but since 2000, Texas has won three, Miami's won three, and we've won three. And Texas and Miami are in the early, from 2000 to 2010 type stuff. Mm-hmm. So what Pat, we've been able to maintain here is it's a collaborative effort of all of our coaching staff, but Pat's head coach, so...
Well, Johnny, we're actually pausing here as the podcast continues to set up the final portion, because I think, in a sense, a lot of Beaver fans are still very interested in what Bales is going to say here. You asked him about it, the timing on which he found out that he was going to become the interim head coach. So we'll get to that in just a moment. The Heat Pump Store, by the way, is your local ductless heating and cooling experts. Join the duckless revolution.
One of the things that made me think of asking him that question was, you and I, at different parts when we were doing games, and I was doing the early games, obviously, we both detected something in Pat, in Casey's corner, where he would make a little comment here and there. Well, you know, I'm going to miss this. To the point at which you had to stop him on one of them late season and say, Pat, now, are you trying to say something here?
And I did say that off the air. You know, we finished up. And Pat was saying things, Pat Casey was saying things like, these are the things I'm going to miss. And I remember almost falling off the chair when the interview was over. I turned off the mic and said, Pat, when are you going to start missing those things? You know, because are you trying to tell me something? And at that point in the late spring, I think it was just before we headed off to Omaha again, where Case dropped that in a Casey's Corner conversation. And I had to kind of follow up off the air. And he said, no, I'm not saying anything. Don't read anything into that. But I think many of us along the way now, as we look back, we're beginning to sense some things going on in Pat's heart. And so we're going to close with your question to Pat Bailey about all of that. Kind of want to wrap it up from the Beaver Podcast sponsorship standpoint. All of these conversations made possible by our good friends, Hum Kombucha presenting Visit Corvallis, the Heat Pump Store, and the Oregon State School of Business. As you know, being a Beaver has its perks. We talked to Nicole Schroeder this week, earlier this week. She's in the College of Business. Oregon State graduates are already qualified for a scholarship towards earning their OSU MBA in Portland, Bend, Corvallis, or online. Flexible and customized options will help advance your career trajectory. Visit mba.oregonstate.edu/Beaver today. John asked the question, and I think many of us have still been kind of working around in the late summer and early fall.
Did you get an inkling during the season of what Pat was thinking?
No, and I'll tell you why. I love Pat, but every year when at times he says, you know, this might be my last year. So, I mean, I have to say I probably would have to correlate it with the boy who cried wolf. Mm-hmm. I just got the point where I don't mean to be rude towards Pat, and I'm not trying to be rude, but I ignored him. And it's like, it's just Pat being Pat. Yeah. So when he talked to me a little bit more about it this summer, I still honestly thought he just needs a break. You know, I was gone all summer long recruiting. I mean, literally from 2 days after we got back from the World Series, I left. And I was probably up until August 15th, I was home maybe 10 days. So I was gone all summer long. When it came up again, when he talked to me about it, I said, you know, are you 100% sure? And he goes, I'm not. And I said, please make sure you're 100% sure, because, you know, you don't want to make the mistake of retiring. Because him and I both, I mean, and he'll tell you, the national championships are great, but that's not why we do this. Mm-hmm. We do this to have a huge impact on young men's lives. And we have a huge responsibility as coaches. This isn't just about baseball. Baseball for me is nothing more than a vehicle to use to do the more important thing, and that's to mold men and to build character in men. And let's be honest, in today's world, it's even more important now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, it's we have a huge character issue problem here in our country. And so, you know, I know people say, well, you're only impacting a few men's lives compared to what's going on. But if you impact a few men's lives and they impact a few men's lives and that carries on, before you know it, it's going to have a huge impact on our society. So Case and I are both the same that way. I mean, we both saw it as – plus, we love young men. We love having the opportunity to coach them. So that said, you know, I think what Pat's done is amazing, but more importantly, he's had a huge impact on young people's lives, and that's more important than national championships.
And it was that you – when you said 100%, you know, he's done this for so long and been so involved in the building of young men that – you know, I'm not saying that he's going to take a break from that, because he's not. He's going to continue to be involved in mentoring other coaches to help coaches here and elsewhere do that. But I just sensed, Pat, and maybe you finally, when you said, well, you knew a few weeks ago, in the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, that this time he was more serious about stepping aside, you know, whether, you know, for good or for a while. You finally kind of came to that understanding, it sounds like, yourself with him.
Yeah, I mean, the first time we talked about it, he decided to wait, which I'm glad he did, because I just said, you know, you need to take more time before you do this. And that was, you know, I mean, that was the day before. That was the day of that there was going to, if you remember, we're going to have the press come in. And then when he talked to me the second time, I said, hey, you know, you're a great friend. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. You know, he knew. I mean, the one thing that for me is the opportunity to be a head coach, I was excited about it, but I wanted to do what was right for him out of respect for him and for our program. You know, that was more important to me than me being a head coach again. So anyhow, the second time we talked, I said, I'm more concerned about you as a friend. And, you know, just all the other things he was going through in terms of his decision-making, I said, I'll respect whatever you decide to do.
Pat, let's close with a couple of things about baseball. The work you're doing, the national championship team that had so many remarkable players and young men, and many of them have moved on. You've got a lot of competition going on this fall and into next spring, right, at a lot of key positions. How do you kind of see that shaping up? What are you looking for this fall in respect to some of those positions that are open?
Yeah. Well, first of all, sorry about that. I'm telling everybody, if I had a choice, you know baseball well enough, both of you didn't know. If I had a choice between losing a lot of pitching and having a lot of really good position players coming back, or losing a lot of really good position players and having a lot of pitching coming back, I choose pitching.
You have coming back.
We do. Yeah. I mean, we lost Luke. Mm-hmm. But besides Luke, you know, you look at guys that had 10 or more innings, we have everybody back. So the pitching part's good. We have Adley back, who's projected right now to be the number one pick in the draft. Whether that happens or not will be another thing, but that's what he's projected right now. And we have some other key pieces back, and then we have some new guys in that are really talented, and we have some guys returning that, because we had – I mean, you're talking about Caden and Nick both being first-rounders up the middle. I mean, we have good players up the middle, but they just didn't get a chance to play because of that. You know, Kwani being gone, Trevor, the year he had last year. So – you know, I'm really excited to see how it all breaks down and we figure all the pieces of the puzzle out. But I think, you know, we have the foundation with the pitching coming back to have a really successful season again this coming year.
Do you think it'll take beyond fall ball, well into winter ball, before you place things, before guys kind of take over? I know, Pat, you used to always say that players make the roster, but how long does it take really to know, especially with all the new guys? The new positions?
That's a great question, and I agree with Pat. I mean, we don't determine who starts, they do. And one of the things I've told our guys, and I've talked to them several times about our players, that we will play, we might not play the best nine players, but we will play the nine best players. And what I mean by that is we'll play the nine guys that are going to give us the best chance and the best opportunity to win. Mm-hmm. There might be more talented guys sitting on the bench, but they don't do team things or whatever. So buying into our team concepts and doing team things from day one has been a big deal with us. You better buy into doing the little things if you want to play every day.
Last thing, Pat. We'll so many things to talk about in the months ahead, but practice started September 11th, fall ball, runs through October 29th. A little different wrinkle this year, it seems. Now, maybe you've had some other things go on. You've got a lot of scrimmages. There will be opportunity for fans to come out on football weekends and so on to see you at work as they've done in the past, coming back to campus during the football season. But tell us about these games you've got going on, the not only inter-squads, but some actual games against other teams. How new is that, and you know how valuable would those experiences potentially be?
I think it's great. I mean, we wanted four games in the fall. That was what the coaches voted for. But we got two, which I guess two is better than none. But the nice part about those days is that we can play, as long as they're continuous, we can play 18 innings if we want. And I assume that's I talked to Nate a little bit about it today. Our first scrimmage will be against University of British Columbia. And I think it's Sunday, October 14th when we play. Saturday, October 13th is when we play the University of British Columbia. And then Sunday, October 21st, we play, and we're going to play up at Hop Stadium against Sacramento State. So that's going to be a great opportunity for us to see and evaluate all of our guys against outside competition, which we haven't been able to do in the past. So I really see it as a positive. It's an opportunity for us to play somebody other than ourselves, which in and of itself is positive. I mean, you get tired of playing each other all the time. So, and we actually tried to get a third game, but it just didn't work out. But next year, we'll try to reschedule UBC, and we'll play two other games. So we'll play three games in the fall, because you can play one international team every year, and it doesn't count against your schedule.
Is it tough to find anybody who wants to scrimmage against the defending national champions?
I mean, when you're scrimmaging, I don't think that really plays into it at all.
Well, no. I mean, they'd be excited to.
Yeah. I think everybody was trying to figure out this year in terms of how they wanted to do that. I think next year it'll be a little better. I think that came about that past, I'm going to say April, May of this year. So what we'll do is we'll probably get those fall games scheduled this coming spring and be done with it, so we have an idea of what we're going to do. And I'm going to let Nate do that just because he's a pitching coach and he has specific timelines in terms of when he wants to get guys ready. So I'll let him take care of that in the fall, and I'll take care of the spring schedule.
Pat, congratulations on being in this office, but being the head coach of the national champion Beaver baseball program. You're, as Pat Casey has said many times, we know, and we know the program is in tremendous hands with yourself and with Andy and Nate and Ryan Gibson on board and Jake Rodriguez and Ron Northcutt and the entire operation Ryan Ortiz at Oregon State Baseball is and has become. So we look forward to many future conversations. Thank you for a generous amount of your time today, Bales, and congratulations. Thanks for the time.
Thanks. It's I'll just close in saying it's really humbling to be the head coach here. I think it's a huge responsibility as a head coach in terms of molding men and taking care of them, making sure they grow up to be the men that they're supposed to be, and I'm really excited with the opportunity.
Really like this man, John. We've admired him for a long time. We're going to be hearing a lot more from Pat Bailey in the days ahead.
You really can't think of a better transition from a legend to someone else, because the next guy is always going to be looked at like, well, you're not Pat Casey. Well, I'll tell you what, he's the absolute next best choice. Having won a national title on his own, he's very, very good friends with Pat. So the two are always speaking with one another. And he knows baseball. It's just a matter of shifting everybody up one spot and then adding Ryan Gibson.
The synergy between those coaches will continue to be very good, as we discussed during the podcast, with some of the best coaches around in Andy Jenkins, Nate Yeske, second to none as a pitching coach, the addition of Ryan Gibson, the culture, the core, the heart and soul of Beaver baseball continues. We hope you enjoyed this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, made possible by Hum Kombucha. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for joining us. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon, for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.